I was completely wrong. 100% wrong, and it was pretty obvious to everybody. Everybody knew it. And I was embarrassed, and I was exposed, and my insecurity, which were very significant at that point in my journey, flamed up. And I had a choice to make at that moment, at that season, in this interaction. How was I going to handle it? Was I going to deny it? I had done that a lot in the past, and people's respect for me and my ability to lead went down. I could, blame somebody else, say, well, the reason I this and that and parents and this and that and forward and back and all this, I could do that. You know, I could excuse. I could say, well, if I only had this or only had that, I could ignore it. I could just pretend and it would go away, and people are pretty nice and they might not bring it up again. Or I could make fun of it. I could tell a joke about myself, and I could kind of, you know, make fun of the situation and kind of ha-ha and diffuse the tension, and then I could let it go. I could do all those kinds of defense mechanisms that I used to do. Or I could go the other way. I could just completely admit it and say, you know what, I'm horrible, and I could beat myself up, and I could shame myself and hate myself and crawl around. I could do all of those kinds of things. But that time, that season, and the truth is there's a host of them I could tell you about, that time where I was just being foolish, it's crucial. It was crucial, particularly this one time, for me, that I handle it in a different way, that I lean into it, that I own it, that I learn from it as a mature person does, as one person at the time said to me, as a man does, and actually use it to be transformed. You know, this thing of moving from being a foolish person to a wise person, it certainly is a journey. And it takes God, it takes other people in support of you, but it begins with you. It begins with you and the attitude you're going to take in this journey. So we are in this series called Safe People, been looking at the book of Proverbs, and we've been seeking to understand what a proverb is. And what a proverb is it's a statement of wisdom, something that a person will say in kind of a catchy or a pithy way that will help just point out a truth that sometimes is subtle or hard to get a hold of or just difficult to understand, but the saying just kind of clarifies it. And then we learn as followers of Christ under the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to take this truth of wisdom and apply it in our life in daily use. That's why it's so important for us to become familiar with the Proverbs, because they become tools that will guide us to be people who in real time will move from foolishness to wisdom and will make wise decisions. Now, we said several things about these Proverbs last week, and particularly as we talked about safe people, we talked about the three people who the Proverbs in general talk about. Obviously, there are wise people, right? And then there are foolish people. And let me just say something. We're going to talk about foolish people deeply today. The main thing that separates a person from being wise and foolish, it really is just one big thing. It's teachability. And particularly how they receive teaching when the teaching comes in the form of correction. And so if you're a person who is teachable, you are like 90% of the way there from moving from folly to wisdom. But that thing of teachable is a lot harder to get a hold of than we think, isn't it? So there's a wise person, a foolish person, and then there's an evil person. Someone the Bible also calls a wicked person or a schemer or a mocker. And we talk deeply about that and how these are dangerous people. These are people who are out to get you. And one of the things I just want to distinguish today is the difference between a foolish person and an evil person is that a foolish person very often is just clueless. And they're just kind of trying to defend themselves, and they're dealing with their insecurities, and they're just hadn't figured some things out yet. But an evil person is mean and enjoys it. A person likes evil and likes to hurt other people, and they are dangerous people. They're controlling people. We talked more deeply about that
last week. Now, again, just to clarify, very often we want to think about a foolish person, an evil person, as maybe they're not the smartest people. Very often, in fact, very often, they are the most intelligent. They're schemers. They're the mockers. They can figure things out. Very often, they're very charming. And very often, a foolish person, particularly an evil person, but a foolish person will use humor to diffuse. And they're kind of fun to be with. And very often, they're the life of the party. And very often, they're very successful by worldly standards. Because as we said last week, this world will reward foolishness at times. This world will also reward evil, taking shortcuts. But those are folks who have banked that the short game is the important game. That if I can get a quick return, what is eternal, what matters in the long term, is not nearly as important. And the Bible actually says that's really what defines a person as foolish. A person who is short-sighted and goes for the quick win, the quick praise, the quick whatever, rather than doing the right thing for the long term. We ask three important questions that are really at the heart of making this series just beneficial. We ask, what kind of person are you? Again, today again, the temptation is going to be, I'm so going to forward this link to my entire office. You know, I got a whole group of people who are going to get the message that's called the foolish person. It's not going to help them, particularly if they are foolish people. But the question you want to ask is, am I a foolish person? What points of foolishness are in me? Second question, am I a safe person? And this is particularly true about teachability, because here's the deal. If you're not teachable, eventually people are going to stop trying to speak into your life. They're going to quit trying to teach you. So if someone comes to you and say, hey, have you considered this? Have you looked at this? You know, when you say this, I don't realize you think what you're saying is, it's not what you're thinking you're saying, you know, and you do the thing of deny, defensive, attack, whatever, those foolish things you do, people eventually are going to say, not worth it. Not worth it. So if you want to be around safe people, you should really look and ask yourself the question, am I a safe person? How do I respond in real time? And then the third question is, with whom am I walking? Because as we see tonight, and we'll see next week, and we'll see this week, if you walk with the wise, you'll be wise. You walk with foolish, you'll be foolish. If you walk with evil, eventually you'll either get hurt or you'll become evil. Here's just a little bit of a warning on this. Very often, the Proverbs tell us is that a fool is often attracted to evil people because they seem fun and they seem winning and they'll reward them. And evil people like to surround themselves with foolish people who will prop them up, right? And so if you are on a foolish track and you're being drawn to dark people and dark things and dark activities, just be careful, because there's a tipping point in your heart where you move from fool to evil, where you start cherishing those things that actually will tear your life apart and make you a very dangerous person. And so, great wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Three surprises again last week. All of us have been all three. I have been a fool. I have been there. Have been times I've been wise, usually on Tuesdays. I don't know, it's about Tuesdays. Mondays are hard days. Anyway, but I've been wise, but I've also been evil. There have been times I've cherished darkness in my heart. Jesus Christ saved me from that. Beautiful thing. Second thing we learned, three surprises, is that different situations, people, circumstance changes us. So some of us are foolish about money. Some of us are foolish about kids. Some of us are foolish about politics, you know. And it's just crazy times. So different things will affect you in different ways. And the third thing is that change is possible. That if you are, by and large, an evil person, you can come to Jesus Christ and he will change you. If you are just say, man, I have been foolish, foolish, foolish. Listen, you may be reaping a harvest from the foolishness you sowed. This is the deal. Say, do I have to go through that harvest? Usually, yeah, you gotta. But here's the deal. You can start planting new seeds today for the next harvest. That's the glorious thing about Jesus, is he's like the giant, it's like Etch-a-Sketch. You don't like it? Shakes things up and you get another shot. Maybe you didn't want to be shaken up. Sometimes that's how it feels, right? So here's the deal. So let's talk a little bit this weekend about foolish people. If you're listening online, I'm glad you're here. And hey, just great to have you. Wherever you're listening from, if you're in North Venue, whatever, want to say hi to you, and I want to talk to all of us. So let's just get open here and let the teachability of the Holy Spirit speak to us. So how do you spot a foolish person? The book of Proverbs has verse after verse. I'm going to give you like way too many verses tonight. So if you're taking verses, just write down the reference. You can go back and look at them. But here are some characteristics of how you begin to start recognizing a foolish person, whether you're looking at your own heart or you're looking at someone else who you're trying to come alongside of in many different ways. First one is that they're drawn to folly. This is a statement over and over again from the book of Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 26 verse 11. It says, like a dog returns to his vomit, is a fool who repeats his folly. So that's a pretty vivid picture, right? So you got this idea of a dog going out, did some bad, eats some grass, throws up, and then the dog goes, oh, that looks good, and eats it up again. And he says, a fool's like that. You were in that relationship, and it's a destructive relationship, a hurtful relationship, and then you got out of that relationship, it was like throwing it up, and then you'll go back, I think I'll try that again, you know, that kind of thing. And so many times we'll do that. So many times we'll go back and we'll say, you know what, I can go to this place, and I know every time I go to this place, I get into bad things, and bad things happen, you know, but you know what, I'm just going to get rid of it, and then, you know, I go back to the thing. And so the fool is drawn back and repeats the folly, and many times, it takes many times hitting that head against the wall before you find it. Also see Proverbs 10:23, doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is the pleasure of man. So what a fool very often do will make fun of their folly. They'll go, man, I got wasted last night. I got so wasted. And they laugh about that. You know what? I did the stupidest thing. And they laugh about it. And they make fun of the folly that they're embracing. One of the things the proverb says specifically about this is how alcohol can make that worse. You know what the proverb says? Listen now. It says, beer is a brawler. That is to say, too much beer will make your life just a disaster, a brawler. And wine is a mocker. Too much wine is going to make your life just you're not going to be yourself. He says, whoever is led astray by them is not wise. And so we can find ourselves making fun of these activities that we do that the world mocks, makes fun of, and even celebrate and get a t-shirt and all those kinds of things. But that's a sign of folly. But Proverbs 13, verse 16, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool flaunts his folly. So he's drawn to folly. He celebrates it. He begins to create a narrative that I'm the mess up. I'm the goofball. Yeah, that's who I am. And many times it's because they don't have another identity of themselves. And so what the big thing we're going to find even today is that when wisdom begins to come, when we begin to start seeing who we are. Like we just sang in the service, you know, I'm no longer a slave to sin. Who am I? I'm a child of God. I'm no longer, you know, the mess up that can't get anything right. I'm the one being redeemed by God who's been given gifts and abilities and he can use them. It's a new identity that draws us towards light and goodness and strength and nobility rather than folly. So first way you recognize a fool is they're drawn to folly. Second is the company they keep. Proverbs 13, verse 20, whoever walks with the wise become wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. This is just an understanding that if you're hanging around with a lot of people doing foolish things, it's just a matter of time till they wear you down, till you dive in, till you become part of it. Now, I'm not saying that you don't love people, you don't keep relationships with people who may be far away from God, but what I'm saying is that if your primary relationships are people who are just expert at doing dumb things, you're going to do dumb things. You're going to look at things in foolish ways. But if you start following and putting yourself in position to be around people who are seeking the kinds of things you want to seek, well, then you're going to become wise. That's why we're doing a small group rally, so that you can find points of connection with maybe, you know, a different group of people who are moving away from folly to wisdom. Consider Proverbs 14:7. Leave the presence of a fool, for there is for there you do not meet the words of knowledge. And so the admonition of the fool, if you got a fool in full-blown folly, and they're not interested in getting out of that, he says, you know what, just leave that person alone. Let them go do their thing, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. Third way you can recognize a fool, and I got multiple verses for this because for me, this is the big one. Because if this one doesn't turn, you're just not going to move away from foolishness. And this is a hard one because this one, listen. This one is usually driven by insecurity. It's driven by this thing of, I'm not good enough. I got to prove myself. I got to keep talking. I got to keep moving. I can't admit I'm wrong because if I do, they'll know how bad I actually am. And when that insecurity is driving you, you are not a teachable person. So that's the third characteristic, an insecure person, unteachable person. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Look at Proverbs 26, verse 16. The sluggard is wiser. That's, by the way, another word for the foolish person, the person who just can't get going in life, sluggard, lazy at times. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. So if seven really smart people come say, hey, you're not looking that wise, right? The fool says, you don't know. You don't tell me anything. I know, you know. The biggest key to making progress in life is becoming aware that there is lots of stuff you don't know. And then realizing the things you don't know. And then finding wise people who know the things you don't know and know that and know them. Because here's the truth. You don't know most of the things you need to know. God gives us each other to teach each other and equip each other. We need one another. Consider the third verse here. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and his shame. And so this is the person who doesn't ever listen. So you're talking to him. You say, you know, hey, oh, yeah, I know that. Yeah, but I was going, yeah, I heard about that. But the thing is, you don't, yeah, no. And even as They seem to be listening. You see the eyes darting. They're not focusing on you. They're formulating their response. Okay? The conversation's over. And this is another picture of folly. I was doing that once with an older guy, and I had my eyes, I knew what I was going to say. I had a zinger coming back at him, and he just quit talking, and I didn't even realize he quit talking for like 20 seconds. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he said, "Are you listening to me?" And it was one of those times I was exposed as being a fool. That Proverbs 12, verse 15, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but the wise man listens to advice." One of the keys to teachability is, do you listen? That is to say, is you listen so that you can repeat what the person said in such a way that they say, yeah, that's what I mean. Do you listen in such a way that when someone says something, you don't form a response? You say, okay, let me get this straight. You're saying this. Well, what about this? And do you mean this? Can you give me an example of that? Help me understand that. I really want to understand what you are saying. That's a wise person. A person who is interested in what others have to say because they want to be better. Proverbs 13:1, another example. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. That is to say, we talked deeply about this last week. A person who's foolish or a person who's evil seems criticism, no matter how graciously it's spoken, how wisely it's spoken, how much love it's given, they see criticism or critique as an attack. Their insecurity flares up and they go to defensiveness and all this kind of stuff like this, particularly about certain topics. I said, for me, it's my kids. When I'm, I get oversensitive about my kids. I know none of you do, but any of the teachers want to say anything in the room. God bless you, teachers, by the way. Teachers are going back to school this next week. Wait, let's give it up for our teachers. You know, one of the toughest things teachers tell me is they have to deal with the crazy of parents who are worked up about their kids. Because we get foolish about our kids, right? And when someone comes back and says, hey, this is something you need to know about your kid, and the teacher is trying to actually help the kid because, they actually care about the kid. If you come at them, they're just going to quit telling you stuff. And you want other adults speaking into your kid's life, because there's a time where they will say things to your kid that you can't say to your kid. And they're on your side. You need to be on their side. And that's true of coaches and parents and other parents and friends. You're working together in this. So I chased a rabbit there, but here's the deal. The foolish person, that was a big rabbit, though, an important rabbit. The unteachable person doesn't listen to advice, sees it as an attack rather than as an opportunity. And listen now, as a gift, as an absolute gift, that finally someone is telling me, because they love me, the thing I need to hear that I didn't want to hear. A wise person understands this. A fool, look at this, mocks it, makes fun of it, maybe even listens to it, whatever, and then goes behind the back and makes fun of the person. What's the other way you can recognize a fool? The words, 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 words. Listen to a couple things it says about the fool. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools pour out folly. They just have to start talking, How do you know I'm being a fool? Just listen to what they say. Proverbs 10, verse 18, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips. That is to say, they got something in their heart, and they're pretending that it's not there, and they're acting like everything is fine. They're dishonest. They have lying lips. And whoever utters slander is a fool. So slander is tearing another person's down in their character. It's not saying, hey, when you did this activity, I don't think that was appropriate. It's, hey, you're terrible. You're horrible. And what's worse, hey, everybody, they're terrible and they're horrible. Let me exaggerate what's wrong with them and add a bunch of stuff to it and tear them down. That'll make me feel better because of my insecurity. He said the words, that's just all there. Look at verse 18, chapter 18, verse 2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion, not listening, not working. Chapter 18, verse 6 and 7. A fool's lips walk into a fight. His mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin. And so they will pick a fight. They will jump in. They will overexpress their opinion. They won't listen, and we'll see it so often. And I have been that guy. When you're a real verbal person like I am, I process verbally. I talk verbally. I talk for a living. When you're a fool, it doesn't take long for people to figure it out. So that's the deal. Some of you are quiet and you hide it better than us. So that's just it. The next thing you'll see about a fool is that they're emotionally unstable. They're unstable emotionally. Look what it says. Just so profound, the scripture. Just love the word of God. Proverbs 14:29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Look at Proverbs 12, verse 16. The vexation of a fool is known at once. So you can tell, just they're annoyed, they're not receiving it, they just, you know what, giving off the vibe, they don't have to say anything, just get quiet, the lips purse, the arms fold. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent learns to ignore an insult. Let's get past the insult, and what's the issue? It's maturity, it's wisdom. Proverbs 29, 11, the fool gives vent to his spirit, that is to say, just lets whatever emotionally comes. I'm just an emotional person. I just say what I think. They even credit themselves as being honest sometimes. But a wise person quietly holds back and gives time for wisdom to do its work. In Proverbs 20, verse 3, it is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but a fool will ever be quarreling, picking fights, emotionally unstable, and just things set him off all the time. Another characteristic of a fool is laziness. I mentioned this a bit ago. One of the terms, it's the word slugger. Proverbs 26, verse 13 is particularly insightful. It says, the sluggard says, you know, there's a lion out on the road. And I was going to go do that thing down on the road, but I heard from a guy, there's a lion. I better not go out there. It's just not safe. Okay, that's my excuse for today. And then there's a lion on the street. You know, I was going to go do that other thing just down the street, but I heard there's a lion on that street too. You know, and then I was going to go fix the fan in the bedroom. But you know what? There might be a lion in there. And so they're always having some excuse. As the door turns on a hinge, and so does the sluggard lay on his bed. Because it takes courage to get up and to do and to face thorny problems and to make progress. Verse 15. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish and wears it out and brings it back to his mouth. That can be food. That can be, you know, online stuff. That can be, you know, anything we do to kind of comfort or medicate ourselves that keeps us from going forward in life and makes us a sluggard. You see that a person who's foolish is impatient. A sluggard does not plow in the autumn. They don't know how to delay gratification. He will seek a harvest and have nothing. So this is a person who didn't plant any seeds, didn't do anything, didn't work at it, didn't sacrifice for it, and wonders why they don't have it. They take what they have now and they spend it all rather than investing it and sending it and being wise. And then in the future, they wonder why they're not receiving a harvest. You see, this is the characteristic. And there is tons in the Proverbs about wise financial management and wise approach to how to actually use money as the tool God intended rather than as the god that we tend to make it from. And the biggest characteristic of a fool, and this is key to the turning of a fool, is that a fool denies God. Consider Proverbs 19, verse 3. When a man's folly brings his way to ruin, his heart rages against the Lord. And so listen to this. A person says, you know what? I've made all these wrong choices. I've said things. I've done things. I've just been backwards and my life is a mess. Why did you let me down, God? You ever done that? I've done that. I've made a mess of situations up one side and down the other and then get mad at God. As though, you know, somehow or another this was God's fault that this happened to me. Psalms 14:1. The fool says in their heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and they do abominable, terrible deeds. That was a hard word to say. Terrible deeds. But the point is that God is not part of the equation. We talked about this just a little bit next week when we talk about this deeply in the fall. There's no reverence. And reverence is this glorious, wonderful reality that there is something above my head. There is a God who exists in heaven. And because of who he is, well, that just changes everything. And then when I realize what he did for me and who he has made me, that's an issue of identity. He's made me his son, his daughter, his child. And now that I have that, that changes everything. And that is the most precious thing. And I have it. Because of that, I am secure. Because I am secure, it gives me the strength to let go of all kinds of different folly. But when the person, either in their mouth, they may say, I believe in God, they may come to church, or in their action, live as though there's no God. So they cheat, they lie, they're dishonest, as though they will never stand before God and give an account, which we all will. They deny God, and it causes all kinds of folly. One of the greatest points of wisdom is, when I'm about to do something dumb, just come back and say, okay, what would God do about this? What would Jesus do, to quote that overused little saying, which is still a really good saying. It's just a really good saying. You know, where would God have me fall on this? What's God's opinion of this? Would God be pleased with this? And the more I am reverently aware of the God who's above my head, the wiser that I live. Now, let me give you a couple insights about dealing with a foolish person. Now, first of all, if the foolish person is you, well, the Holy Spirit is already dealing with you. You just to go down this list and use the devotion this week. That's what the devotion is all about. Go down the list, the first several days anyway, and say, In this area, are there some things that I'm foolish about? And if you're really brave, go to someone, you know, who loves you and say, hey, do you ever see me go this and do this? And if they say, no, and they run away. Well, that says something too. So do the work. But if you're a parent or a friend, or you're working with someone, you say, boy, they just seem, how am I supposed to help them? Couple things in dealing with a foolish person. And this is an issue of discernment, okay? Consider Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5, two of the most confusing proverbs, particularly if you're going to make this about a law or a list of rules. Look what it says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you become like him yourself. Okay, so the thing I'm not supposed to do is just have nothing to do with fools, just let them do their foolish thing, right? Number five, verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Oh, wait, so what? So I'm not supposed to answer, I'm supposed to answer. What's going on here? Well, this is an issue of discernment that very simply comes down to this. There's a time to correct a fool. There's a time not to correct a fool. Yeah? Yeah? And what are you looking for? Well, let's talk about what you're looking for. What you're looking for as an indication of it's not a good time is Proverbs 29, verse 9, I would say, don't argue with certainty. So if the fool is certain, if they are dug in, if they just know that they know that they know. You know where I first discovered this? Quite honestly, just as a parent. If one of my kids says, no, dad, it's this way. Son, you know, I've been through this. I say, no, dad, it's this way. Yeah, but buddy, here, look, it says on the internet. It's not. No, but you know, 50 years of experience here. Look, there's pictures. There's pictures, you know. It's not like that. Oh, dad. But if they're certain, don't argue with them. Okay, look what it says. It says, if a wise man has an argument with a fool, the fool only rages and laughs. So if they're mocking, if they go on and on, they're not listening, there is no quiet. That's when you just pull back. That you say, you know, there's nothing I can say to you. There's nothing I can do for you. And that is ridiculously hard, particularly when you know you're right. Okay? Because here's the danger. Because they'll go on, and then you start wanting to come in with sarcasm. Or you start wanting to come and go after them, and go after them, and you're making them angry. You're fortifying them in their folly, and you're getting caught up in the crazy. And you're getting emotional. There's just, you know what? There's nothing I can do here. And to understand the discernment of that is just, God, is this something I'm supposed to engage? But when you see certainty, the person is certain, there's nothing you're going to talk, the absence of humility, the absence of awareness, then you just need to pull back. Second thing I would say in dealing with a foolish person is give the young grace to outgrow folly. All of us, when we are young, are foolish. The Proverbs are very clear about that. Listen to Proverbs 1, 8, and 9. He says, hear, my son, hear, my daughter, your father's instruction. Forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a garland around your head and a pendant around your neck. You plead with them, you teach them, you let consequences fall on them appropriately. But to be young is to not have things figured out. And to be young, particularly at key transitional times in their life, going into middle school, going into high school, getting ready to go to college, getting married, all those things, there's just a huge amount of fear. Fear brings insecurity. And so there's some foolishness. And hey, listen, they're not any more foolish than you were when you were doing that. And so if you give grace to that and let that work out and let them have the dignity of their own struggle, that would be wise. Proverbs 26, 1 tells us not to honor a fool. This, I think, is actually a mistake our culture's making right now, is we just give positive reinforcement and positive reinforcement, tell them how great they are and what they're doing right. Look what it says in Proverbs 26, verse 1. It says, like snow in the summer or rain in the harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. So to placate someone, to pander them, you know, to prop them up in the thing that they're doing wrong, when what you really just need to do is let them pull back, well, that's just not a good thing. What we're supposed to do is actually let the consequences do their work. Now, this is a person, again, who's certain, who's not open, who's just full on in their folly. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 1 and many of the verses say. It says, wisdom cries out in the streets, and in the marketplace she raises her voice. So these are people who have access to the smart stuff, and they're just ignoring it. How long, O simple one, will you love being simple? How long will the scoffers delight in their scoffing? The fools hate knowledge. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because you have ignored all of my counsel and would have none of my reproof. This is wisdom speaking. Verse 26, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their ways and have their fill of their own devices. And that's what's appropriate for a fool in full folly. And some of you say, you don't understand, I love this person. What if they fall down? Well, then they fall down. Like you fell down when you were foolish, because that's really how you learned your best lessons, right? And so often in our culture, we keep them from falling. We prop them up. We take away the consequence of the thing that they're doing rather than letting them just full-blown go into it. They crash their car, we get them another car rather than say, well, you got a bike. You know? They'll break another relationship in an inappropriate way, and we'll really want to gather on them and comfort them and tell them it's all right. Well, what they did really was not all right at all. Rather than just, and I'm not talking about piling on them or shaming or saying, I told you so. None of that is healthy. That's just you being a fool, okay? Don't do that. But just letting life do its work. And this takes discernment. You see what I say? You've got to have the Holy Spirit and wisdom yourself to know how to apply this. You've got to be really close to God. So, what then is the other side of it? When can you engage a fool who's waking up, who's figuring it out? Well, there's three things that I have found that you're watching for when you can really come alongside a foolish person. The first is simply this. Watch for teachability. And it comes in three ways. First is awareness. Self-awareness. Okay? When the person starts saying, you know what? I have really messed this up. And you know what? It's just my fault. And you know what? I don't want to do this thing of just beating myself up, but neither do I want to keep doing that thing. My gosh, this is my responsibility. This is for me to. That's awareness. And when you see a person coming awake, then there's opportunity for you to gently and wisely step in. The second is intentionality. The person say, this is my deal. And then they start taking steps unlike any. You know what? I'm not going to go to that place anymore. You know what? I'm just not going to hang out with so-and-so anymore. You know what? I just got to stop doing that because every time I do that, it's just not good. And you know what? I'm going to, instead of just focusing on the bad things I'm going to push out of my life, I'm going to start bringing some good things in my life because now I have all this time on my hands. You just do all the stupid things. This is one of the biggest mistakes we make, by the way, when we're trying to get bad stuff out of our life. We don't replace it with good things in our life. It's like a hole in your driveway that keeps filling with water. You can go out every day and empty the water, or you can fill in the hole. And so if your life is just, you know, there's keeps filling the hole. So you have bad relationships. Get in a group and find some good relationships. You know, I'm in a bad environment. Well, find another good environment. You know, I'm doing this thing that I shouldn't, you know, this. I've got this perpetually negative attitude. I'm going to embrace a positive attitude. You know what? I blame. Instead of that, I'm going to start giving thanks. You know, instead of, you know, going after things that don't matter and break my life, I'm going to start worshiping God. And filling my life with love for him. And that begins to fill your life with new things. And it gets you through the harvest you may be in. And it's planting seeds for the next harvest, which is a harvest of beautiful things. Because it's still the case that we reap what we sow. That's just the principle that the scriptures teach us. And that's the thing. The last thing is integration. We talk about integration a lot. That we start working this stuff into our life. We start, in a healthy way, start helping this stuff become just bigger in our life. Now, at the heart of this is who God is in a person's life. Because here's the deal. It's been my experience in doing this for a while. You know, I can't change anybody's mind. And I certainly can't change their heart. I can't change what they want. I can throw words at them. I can try to convince them. But at the end of the day, only God is the one who can change their heart. So point them to God. And so I just want to end kind of how I ended last week. If you're here this weekend and you're going through that list of foolishness, you say, I've done a lot of foolish things. And you know what? I have been living as though there's nothing over my head. I have been living as though it's just about me and my opinions and how I live and what I think is best. Well, it's time for you to come back and maybe come for the first time to the person of Jesus Christ. One of the things I love about Jesus Christ is when you start looking at all these Proverbs and look at how he dealt with the fools in his life, he had a lot of fools in his life. He had people who would come to him and say, I want to follow you, but I don't want to give this stuff up. I want to keep this temporary stuff. I don't want too much sacrifice. And look how he dealt with them. He dealt with them just with the wisdom. He had Pharisees who were actually evil people who wanted to kill them. They were willing to kill them, the Bible says. They said, we got to stop this guy or we're going to lose our position and our place. So he's got to die. How did he deal with those? Well, he dealt with wisdom. He's the wisdom from God. And so for you to come back and discover the person of Jesus Christ as your life, as your model, as the one who saves you from folly and sin and brokenness and evil, that's what the cross is all about. Because like I described last week, you know, when Jesus Christ died, what he did was he came and he gathered up our sins and our folly and our foolishness and our shame and our insecurities, and all of that was nailed to the cross with him. And then when he came down, he was placed in a tomb, and he left all that brokenness behind, and he came out. So that when we come to Jesus Christ and put our faith and trust in him, All of our sins are forgiven. All of our follies forgiven. And then he does this amazing thing. Again, we're going to talk about this deeply this fall. He plants the Holy Spirit in our heart. And he begins this work with what the theologians call regeneration. He changes our heart and our desires and our wants and what's important. He teaches us humility, and it brings us to the beautiful point. So you may be here this weekend, and you may be saying, that's exactly what I need. I just need to return to God. And so every weekend at Jacob's Well, we talk about next steps. Several next steps, again, you could take this week. It could be that your next step is just to pursue a relationship with God and Jesus Christ. It may be just right where you're at here today, just saying, God, I need you. I've been a fool. And Jesus, I need to know all about you. I'm going to challenge you. If that's where you're in your journey, you know, it's a bit of a walk, and it'll take some courage. But I want to encourage you to go down the hallway down here at the end of the hallway. And there's it's called the fireside room. It's called the prayer room. And there's some people who would love to talk to you, like to hear your story. And they would love to tell you more about how you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you say, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but every now and again I forget he's over my head. I got some serious folly working in my life. Grab the devotion this week. That would be an example of integration, where you actually take a positive thing and you bring it into your life every day these next couple days and this next week, and it challenges your thinking, it changes your thinking, it makes you more self-aware, and it would be a wonderful tool for you. This is, again, powerful piece that was written that you could use this week. Maybe you're deeply being challenged by this. We do have copies of the book Save People this weekend at the At Home Center, but there are steps that you could take so that you could take big steps towards moving away from folly towards wisdom. Here, let me just end with a note of encouragement. Two things I would make about observation and make about wise people. And next week we're going to talk about wise people and how to be those. It's really very cool message. Two things I would say about wise people. One is, wise people don't think of themselves as wise people. They are very aware of God and others, and truly wise people don't think of themselves at all. So if you go to them and say, you know, you're a very wise people, they're going to look at you like, never thought of that, that's silly, how are you? You know, that's the wise person. The second thing about wise people is every one of them started as a fool. Every one of them started as a fool. So there's hope for you and me. And somewhere along the line, they say, you know what, I'm going to quit denying this, I'm going to quit blaming this, I'm going to own this. I'm not going to just crawl up in a hole and feel sorry for myself. I'm going to become a mature person, a whole person, a healthy person. I want to become a safe person so that I can be a blessing to those around me and so I can honor the God who's above my head and who loves me so much. Let's pray together. And then Chris is going to come out. And as you listen to this song, this is a beautiful song about a foolish person waking up. It's beautiful. Let's pray. Oh, Father, you are too good. You are too good. You saw us in our folly. You even saw us in evil. We were cherishing things that were dark and broken and far away from you. You saw us in all of that, and still, in your mercy and your grace, in your wisdom, you stepped into our story and you showed us a better way to live. Jesus, you are wisdom personified. And as we watch how you lived and interacted with people, we saw it. When you meet a certain person, you just walk away. But when you meet a person who's self-aware with humility and brokenness, wow, Jesus, you just pulled really near. And so, Father, we just confess we need you and Jesus to pull really near to us because we've been foolish and we want to be wise. Father, I thank you so much for the wisdom of the scriptures. I thank you for the joy, the hope you put before us that change is possible, growth is possible. Thank you that we don't have to get it all figured out this week, that it's about steps, it's about a journey, it's about a process, and that you walk with us every step of the way and you send other people to walk with us, beautiful people. And so as we start this journey, as we continue this journey, we just say we love you for loving us even when we're foolish. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.